Vayter in Shas Rein Chulin Dav Kuf Chaf Al. Begin at the top of the page, second line, next part of the Mishnah. We said the LL combines with the meat in order to be metame foods, but not metame nevelas. My LL, what is this thing called LL? Rav Yochanan Amar, Yochanan says Martika. Come on, it's Martika. What's Martika? Rashi says it's a really hard sinew on the neck and on the spine. And Rish Lakish Amar, Basar Sheplatastu seconds. Flesh that was cut from the knife when the animal was flayed. From the following pasuk, it says, V'ulam atem tofle shaker rofe elil kulchem. Pasuk in Eov, he tells his friends who came to comfort him that the words of Tanchumin are all lies. He compares them to the healers of Elil, false doctors who claim to have cure for damaged Elil, which is something which you can't actually cure. Bishlam and Amar Martika makes sense according to the Martika, the part of the body. Hanu de la barfuhu. Now we say this is a barfuhu because when this snaps, the cervical ligament is not able to be put back together. Elamanda Amar Basar Sheplatato Sakin. One who says, Ramiki Rish Lakish, says, it's the flesh that was cut by the knife, barafuahu, it can actually be healed. So why are they liars? You can heal such a thing. There's a Gemara. Be'olo dekura, dekuli amalafligi, in regard to the word El of the Pasuk, everyone agrees that it means Martika. Hipligi, when are they arguing? Be'elo de Masnisen. Talking about El in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says that in the Mishnah also Elo is talking about Martika. Rish Lakish says in the Mishnah, it's talking about the flesh that was cut by the flaying knife. And we'll back that up. Toshma, to bring a Raya to that which Rish Lakish, what he says. Rabbi Yuda Omer, Elo HaMechunas, the Elo of an Avela that was gathered together. Im yesh kezayis, one kamecha was kezayis in one place, chayiv malav, you're going to be chayiv because of it. The Amr of Huna, says, v'hu shekin, so this is when one gathered it together. Bishalaman da Amr, baser sheplatato sakin. Okay, it works well according to the one named the Rish Lakish, who says that El is flesh that was cut by the flying knife. Hanuchi ika kezayis, mechayiv. That's why when there's a kezayis, someone gathered in one place is going to be chayav for it. L'man da'amar martaga, according to one meaning, namely Rav Yochanan, who says it's the martaga, kika kezayis mahavi. Even when there's a kezayis altogether, what does it matter? Eitz ba'almahu. It's just considered like wood. Therefore, it can't, under any circumstance, be considered as the flesh of nevela. Gemara says, okay. Aliba de Rav Yehuda lepligi. According to Rav Yehuda, Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish are actually not arguing. It's clear that when Rav Yehuda says the word Elul, he's talking about the flesh that was cut by the knife, because this is one of the meanings. Kepligi, where would they argue? Aliba de Rabbanan, in the world of the Rabbanan, aka the Tanakama, who says in the Mishnah that Elul is can contribute to the kibbutz size of food that's necessary for tuma. Rav Yochanan Amar Martika Nami Mitzarif. He says that this is referring not only to the flesh that was cut from the flame of the knife, but it could also be Martika, because Martika can also combine with other food, you know, the food stuff, in order to get to the kibbutz of food to make sure that it's going to be tame. Rish Lakish Amar Dafka Basar Sheplataso Sakin. It's specifically this flesh that was cut by the flaying knife that can combine for tuma. Amatka lo mitzarif, it's not mitzarif. Okay, so now everyone's masking, but the flesh that was cut by the flaying knife is included in the category of Elul. Falls into that category, which combines with meat to get to the measure that's necessary for food tuma. The Mishnah implies that it's not subject to food tuma in its own right. So let's figure this out. Hi, baser sheplatatu sakin. This sheplatatu sakin, that the the knife flayed, hechidami, what exactly is a case that's going to combine with other meat to get to the shear that's necessary for food tama, but it's not something to the food tama on its own. If someone had a mind to eat it after it was cut and it was stuck to the hide, then it should be able to be contract tuma even when it's by itself. If he's not intending to eat it, then by abandoning it on the hide, then he's batal, he's being mavatal from having the status of flesh, and he made it like the hide itself, and which is not going to be able to contract food tuma even when it's combined with the meat. So for the Gemara, two answers. Rav Avin, Rav Miyasha. Chad Amar, Mektsasu Chishev Alav. One of them says that the Mishnah is talking about a case where one had a mind to eat a unspecified part of the cut flesh, but had no intention about the remainder. Chad Amar, Mektsasu Platasu Chaya. Another one says that it's talking about a case where part of the flesh was cut by an animal. Mektsasu Platasu Chaya, and part of it by a knife. Tinana, we have a Mishnah over there in Taros. The Mishnah over there is talking about a very unusual case, and that is a nevela of a kosher bird, the dead kosher bird. That if it's the din is that it's not like the nevela of an animal, that it doesn't transmit tumah to someone who touches or carries it, only mitame bebeis ablia, when it's swallowed. But if one had mind to feed this nevela of this kosher bird, dead kosher bird, to a guy, then it's considered like food, and it's able to mekabel tuma like regular food. If then it touches a sheretz, it becomes tamei with tumas ochlin. It can be transmitted the tuma to other foods through touching it. Right, and this is talking about the actual flesh, which is the edible. And now we're going to talk about the beak and the claws. Chartum vatzipor naim, the beak and the claws of the nevela of a kosher bird, mitamin u'mitamin mitsarfin. Yeah, it transmits, it acquires tumah, transmits tumah, and it combines with other things to get to the kabesa. Frank the Gemar, chartum, the beak? What shaykhis? It's ba'amu, it's just like a piece of wood, it's nothing. Amar b'lazar b'chartum tachton, it's talking about the lower part of the beak. Apparently that's not just like eitz. Tachton nami is ba'amu. So what do you mean? Tachton is also just like considered like eitz. Says no, my papa tachton shel elyon. It means the lower part of the upper beak, okay? And there's a thin strip of cartilage on the bottom of the upper beak inside the mouth, and it's not eaten by itself, right? So therefore, it's not susceptible to tumas ochlin by itself, but it's soft enough to be eaten with the surrounding meat. Therefore, it can be combined. Fakti gemar tzipor naim. What about tzipor naim? What are claws? You can't eat that. Amar v'lazar makom hamuvlayim b'basar. It's talking about the part of the claws that are embedded in the flesh, the roots, which are soft, and they're able to be eaten. They're edible. Okay, karnayim. Next one, Mishnah said the horns combined with the meat to be convey tumas ochlin. It's a part with the horns by the roots where the blood flows when you make a cut over there. That part is soft and it's possible to be eaten. Next, kayotze bo. A shochet behemoth, similarly of a yid, shechsi, non-kosher animal for a guy, and it's still shaken about. It's going to be conveying tumah of food, but it's not going to convey tumah's nevelas until it actually dies. Amar avasi, shawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawawaw bit tamea, that with a Jew shechting a non-kosher animal, or with a guy who's shechting a kosher animal, in order for them to be mekabel tumah, they have to, you have to have kavana. When the animals are shaking, they'll be fed for guys, and the hechsher mayim mimakom acher, and also preparation for water from another place. You need these two things, kavana, and has to have hechsher mayim from another place, or, you know, other type of liquid. Hechsher lamali, why do I need it to be hechsher? Sofali tami tumah chamur, this carcass is destined to be contaminated, to contaminate with a tumah chamura of a nevela, right? When this animal finally dies, when it's shaking, it's going to be a nevela. So it will eventually have tumas nevelas, which is even more chamur than tumas olchin, in three different ways, Rashi points out. Even a kezais of it will be metame. That's one thing, but generally you need a kebetza. And number two is that it's going to have the capacity to contaminate even adam v'kelim by tumas olchin, can usually do food. And it's going to be tumah not only through contact, but even through
carrying, where Tumas Elchon is only through contact. Chosov of the Tami, Tumas Chamur, Tumas Chamura, lo be Achsher, doesn't need Achsher. So what's going on? The Tani Devei Shmal, v'chi yutan mayim alzera, mazroim she'ein sofa, the Tami Tumas Chamura, just like seeds, they're not going to become Tumas Chamura. You know, it's not going to mean av Tumas, we can Achsher, av kol she'ein sofa the Tami, Tumas Chamura, tzarech Achsher. Right, and so a food that's destined to be metame with tumah chamura does not need hechsher in order for tumah to be metame. V'tanya, I'm really learning a braisa. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Mipnei ma amru. Why does it say nivlas of tahor tzricha machshava? The veil of a clean bird, of a kosher bird, needs intention that it be fed to a guy in order to be mekabel for susceptible to tumah ochin. V'in tzricha hechsher, but it doesn't need hechsher. Mipnei. Beep, turn the page. Kuf chafaf on base. So solve the time. So why do Ravasi say that a unclean animal, shechta by a yid, or a clean one, meaning kosher, by a non-Jew that is shaking needs hechsher tuma. The animal is not necessarily destined to be contaminated because tumas chamura of the veil, because you can theoretically scrape the animal meat from the bones while it's shaking and leave it in shreds that are smaller than a kazayas each. And since each piece of its meat might never contaminate with tumas chamura, therefore it requires hechsher with moisture in order to be susceptible to tumas ochlim. Amar lei Rav Yirmiya, Rav Yizera, Omi Amar Chizkiya Achid, the Chizkiya really say that a shaking animal does not metame tumas avela. V'ho'itmar, but we know that it says, Shachar b'shnaim or Rav shnaim, if somebody shechted both the simanim or majority or row of two of them, of a non-kosher animal, v'adayim v'chesed, it's still shaken around, then it's machlokas. Chizkiya Amar ein alevarim. It's not subject to the din of Eivor Min HaChai. Of Yochanan Amar Yesh Levarim. It is subject to Eivor Min HaChai in such a state. Chizkiya Amar Ein Levarim. Meisei, because once it's pais for shechted, it's dead. Of Yochanan Amar Yesh Levarim says that it is subject to the Isser of Eivor Min HaChai. Lav Meisei, because it's not actually dead. Since Chizkiya considers the animal legally dead, even before the dead, the shakes have finished, it was in its article class of the Vela, so it should convey the severe tumma of the Velas while shaking. According to Chizkiya, the shaking animal, like whenever you go and you shake this animal, what happens is it shakes in mefarcheses. It left the category of the living, but it didn't enter the category of the dead. It's this middle stage life and death, and therefore it doesn't fall into the Isser against Eivor Min HaChai. And also involved in the Tumas Nevelas, its own category. Gufa shachar b'shnaim, or roshnaim, v'dayin him v'cheses, b'chizkei amar ein leivar, v'yochan amar yesh leivarim. Amar b'lazar, nekot lahad rabbi yochan b'dach, take the opinion of Yochanan in your hand, the tani of Hoshaya kavasei, because Hoshaya, he says like him, the tani of Hoshaya, so Hoshaya says, Yisrael sheshachat behema tamei aliv kechabim, of a Jew that goes and shechs a non-kosher animal for a guy, shachet b'shnaim, or rov shnaim, or ferchesses, if it's shachet two or rov shnaim, and it's shaken about, mitame tumas ochlin, aval lo tumas nevelus. Eiver ha-purish mimenu, ki ha-purish min ha-chai, a limb that becomes attached from it, while shaken around, is considered like eiver min ha-chai. Kubasar ha-purish mimenu, kubasar ha-purish min ha-chai, and also if you have stuff that flesh that's detached from it, while shaken about, it's considered detached from a living creature, it's also for a benoach, even after the animal is to die, which goes, dying after it's dead. And this backs up of Yochanan that when a yid shechs a non kosher animal for a noachad, while shaken is considered like it's still alive, in reference to the Isser against Eivor Min HaChai or Basar Min HaChai. Shachar ba'echad or rov echad, if you shechted or one of the pipes or the majority of one of them, it's shaken about in b'tamim tumas ochlin, v'sam b'tamim tumas ochlin. Nachar, if he pierced the animal, the pipes, ein b'tuma shel klum. There's no tuma at all while shaking. If you have a guy that checks a kosher animal for a Jew, flip case, right? You have the guy shechting for the Jew, and he's shaking him out. Metama tumas olchin, avelo tumas nevela. It's tumas olchin, but not tumas nevela. Eiver aporsh mina kaporsh mina chai is considered like it's still alive. But what's aporsh mina kaporsh mina chai? It's like alive. Also, ben enoch vafil lachus days no shiv never dies. Shachar beechad or rov echad. Ena metama tumas olchin nacher if you pierce the animal, then ain't but tumas shalchum is not tuma at all. Okay, what about when a yid and a guy, they work together to shecht a kosher animal? Shechet v'kachavim b'makom she'ein osa osa treifa. Let's say a guy cut an animal's pipe in a place that doesn't make it into a treifa. Obay Yisrael gemar, and then the Jew comes in and he goes in and finishes off the shechita. K'sheira, then this animal is going to be kosher, even though a shechita has been done by a Jew. It's going to be good because the Jew did the main part, the final part of the actual shechita. Shachri Yisrael, the Jew goes in and does a shechita. Bein makom shoso osa treifa, bein makom she'ein osa osa treifa. Obay v'kachavim b'gamar shechita, so he goes in and finishes it off. Then psula, it will be possible. Harotzi yochel mi behema called him say tenash. Someone wants to eat from wants to eat the meat taken from an animal before it dies. This is like the very chash of a meat apparently. Chotich kezayis basar beis shchita. So he should cut a kezayis a basar from the meat at the place of the shchita, where the flesh is already exposed and can be cut immediately before the animal dies without any sort of skinning. Then you salt it well, you clean it well, wash it well, you wait until the animal dies, then you can go in and you can eat it. Both Goyim and Yidden are mutter to do this. Masai of Idi Bar Avin, Dami Idi Bar Avin. This idea is backs up Idi Bar Avin because he said that Harotz Shiavri, someone who wants to be healthy, Chot Chizayis Basar Beit Shchita, go and do this. Amach Liyafel Yafel Mitich Liyafel Yafel Matin Laach Tzenasha Echad VeKachavim Echad Yisam Matarbo. Both, this is like very good Gevshmaka healthy type of stuff. Apparently, meat. Okay. By Rabbi Elazar, Shabbat Doris Ba'mahu. Let's say if one paused during the shechita or pressed down the knife during the shechita, what's going to be the din? Right, because we said that the meat of a non-kosher animal killed by a yid or killed by or a clean or kosher one that's killed by a guy is going to be susceptible to tumas ochlin while shaking only if an act of shechita is done, but not if the pipes are pierced. So now we want to know what about these type of things? If it's shehir or drisa, what is it considered shechita or not? Says Gemara, Amar Le'ah Husaba. So this elder said too, Husaba. Well, we've seen this in other Masechtas. Some say it's Eliyahu Navi, and some say not. Okay, says Amar Husaba. Hachem Rabbi Yochanan. So said Rabbi Yochanan. Sricha Hechsher Shchita Kebehema Tahara. In order for the animal to become susceptible to Tumas Ochlam, while shaking, it needs proper Shchita, like a clean animal that shechted, in order to be eaten. So the Shchita has to be done with all the proper shechita laws, like it was coming to make it its mutter, and here that's how it happened. Hechsher lamai, for what purpose does Rabbi Yochanan say that a proper shechita, that like that of a kosher animal, must be something you're adding in over here with such a lashon? Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak bedika sakin. It means also checking the knife before the shechita. That's how far it goes. Rav Zeir, Rav Sheshes, Mao shetatzil ala bluim shebesocha. What's the din about whether the shaking animal spares the tar object swallowed up within it from becoming tummy? Right, we know the din is that whatever is under the same roof as a human dead body becomes tummy, but we also know that the Mishnah tells the Mikvos that an object swallowed by a person doesn't become tummy when it's under the same roof of a dead body. So if a person swallows a tar ring and enters the body, when there's a dead body in a room where there's a dead body, he's tummy with the ring is going to remain tahor. So when he spits it out, it doesn't need, you know, the whole shtickle with the water to be retired. Also, if somebody, let's say, goes ahead and swallows, and if somebody swallowed up an animal, it's not going to be kabbal tumma. This is talking about only when the animal's alive. Once it died, then its dead body doesn't spare the things inside of it. But here, since it's meat, so it's inside of it, is objects contained within it are not classified as swallowed up. So now you want to know the case of an animal swallowed an object, and it was then slaughtered while under the same roof of a dead body, and it was shaken. Is a swallowed up object spared from the tumma of this shaking animal or not? Amalei says, "Betami tumas ochin umatzelus." It's going to be tumas ochin, but you want to say now that maybe it's going to, okay. It's a response. It's like tumas ochin umatzelas, it's going to be time in the tumas tochen, but you think that maybe it's going to spare the thing inside. If it's considered food, it's obviously no longer considered like a live animal to be able to stop it from becoming tummy. Amar lei, so he says back to him, that is Rav Zeir, respect Rav Sheshes, ain't a matami tumas nevelas velo tatzil. The opposite. It's not going to convey the tumah of nevelas. You want to say it's not going to be spared this Torah thing from coming tummy? Since it's not considered nevelas, obviously because the leg is alive. So we have the opposite to mashmos. Amar Abaye ain't a matzeles ala bluim shabasocha. It's not going to be matzel things inside of it. Tama tami tumas lochen the harova chayav. But somebody who sodomizes it is going to be chayav, right? While shaking it, it's chayav like the death penalty. If he does it intentionally, the chatas, if he does it unintentionally, just like somebody is like does with a regular living animal, ta'ina matame tumas nevela, since it's not matame, tumas nevela, consider like it's still alive for that. Okay, my friends, we're going to stop over here and wish you all a great, great day.